Funding for WBUR comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
An infamous figure in the history of Boston has died in a federal prison. The apparent murder of convicted Boston mob boss James Whitey Bulger yesterday at the Hazleton Penitentiary in West Virginia is raising many questions. WBUR special correspondent David Boeri has covered the career and later trial of Jimmy Bulger and spent yesterday looking into the circumstances of his death. David's with us now this morning. Good morning, David.
Good morning, Bob.
So federal authorities are saying little publicly about what happened to Bulger beyond confirming he died less than a day after arriving at this prison in West Virginia. One of the many unanswered questions is why Bulger was moved from a prison in Florida to this Hazleton facility. As I understand it, you spoke with Bulger's lawyer, who was pretty surprised about where his client ended up. What did the lawyer think was happening?
Well, he was shocked, Bob. I mean, you understand that Bulger has been, until the last couple of days, in a prison in Florida. He has a well-known problem with his health, with his heart. And so Hank Brennan, the attorney for Bulger, spoke to him just last Friday, he says. And Bulger told him that he was leaving the prison in Florida and he was being transferred. And he believed, Bulger believed, that he was being transferred to a medical facility because the issue, a long issue, had been over his heart condition.
He had a serious heart problem.
Serious heart problem. As he reported to his lawyer, there were some 8 heart attacks in prison while he was in Florida. He was in a wheelchair, and he's been in a wheelchair for a long time. He had carried nitroglycerin tablets. He had them in a pill bottle around his neck. So he was very sick and described as being in very poor and deteriorating condition.
But apparently, Bulger was not sent to a medical unit because there was not a medical unit at this jail in West Virginia. Tell us more about that.
Well, this is a striking question now, because he was transferred from Florida, was sent to Oklahoma, where there's a transfer facility before the inmates are sent out to their destinations. And instead of ending up in a facility with a medical unit, a specialized medical unit, such as Fort Devens has, the prison there, he was sent instead to Hazleton Prison, which is in West Virginia. Now, imagine this. He is in, for the last 8 months, he has been in solitary confinement in Florida, in that prison in Florida. All of a sudden, he ends up in Hazleton, and he's put into the general population. Again, a place that does not have a medical unit. He was under the impression he was going there. His attorney was under the impression he was going there. He goes to a maximum security prison, meaning it has lots of people doing violent, who have done violent crimes, who are facing life in prison without parole. He's there, and he's in the general population.
All right, so now up to the very present. What do we know this morning about how Whitey Bulger died?
Details have been few. The prison has not released any details. We know the FBI is investigating. We know. I think through the statements you can conclude it was not natural causes. In fact, the information I've gotten from sources is he was beaten to death. He gets in the evening of Monday, and by Tuesday morning, he doesn't make roll call. He's dead in his cell.
What do we know about who might be suspected in this death?
So first suspicion in any high-level federal prison has to be inmates killing inmates. There's a long tradition of known behavior. Inmates who are facing life without parole anyway, they're doing that time. There's no sanction against them if they commit another prison murder, in place. So there are bragging rights for killing high-profile prisoners. Could that have happened? Well, we also know that there are reports that a mafia connection to Bulger's death is being researched this morning. Who is involved? Who's in the prison? Who are the mafia connections? Is there somebody involved with the Genovese family in New York? Now, in addition, what Paul Wiedek is listed as being in that prison. Paul Wiedek was convicted along with the former mob boss of New England, Frank Salemi, last summer of a murder, long ago murder in Boston. Both were sent to prison. And Wiedek is listed as being present in that unit. And so you have this striking situation of Bulger, with a heart condition, thinking he's going to a medical unit, coming out of solitary confinement, and being transferred to a federal prison that is a level 3 prison with violent offenders and put into the general population. It doesn't have a medical unit.
Okay, David, so back to the big picture here. James Whitey Bulger, longtime crime boss responsible for murders and lots of other violence in Boston, later revealed that Bulger had been an informant for the FBI and received protection. He spent 16 years on the run and then was then finally convicted of racketeering and murder and sent to prison for life. How do you think he'll be remembered?
Wow. You know, this is a saga, an epic, a 6-decade-long epic. But what you have to remember most here, this is the guy that was the most feared man in Boston for much of that time.
When Jim Bulger decided to kill somebody, he killed them. There was no change in his mind. And people knew it.
Kevin Weeks had seen his boss at work, buried some of the victims, and testified at Bulger's trial.
People didn't want to meet him. And people would do what was asked of them without even meeting him, because they didn't want to meet him.
He rose from the projects of Southie, along with his brother William, whose parallel path to power went to politics and the presidency of the state Senate, and later the University of Massachusetts. From boosting goods from the backs of trucks, Whitey Bulger graduated to bank robbery in a stint in federal prison, including Alcatraz, of which he was a proud alumnus. Back on the streets, he joined an Irish gang called Winter Hill and killed as a favor for the mafia.
Because of his viciousness and his utter ruthlessness, he became a legend in Boston.
Says former TV reporter Ron Golubin.
It was almost like a ghost, a ghostly presence. Even the cops were afraid of him.
Bulger's rise from gangster to godfather was enabled and empowered by the government's war on organized crime, in which the enemy was the mafia, the Italian-American gangsters, and not the Irish-Americans. What Boston mafia boss Gennaro Angiulo and his lieutenants did not know about their outside hitmen was this. Bulger and his partner Stephen the Rifleman Flemmy had been recruited as secret FBI informants.
They came to him to use him as an informant, and he ended up using them as his informant and stuff. He flipped the switch.
Bulger corrupted his FBI handler, John Connolly, who grew up in the same Southie housing project. He corrupted Connolly's supervisor, John Morris. With cash, gifts, and master manipulation, Bulger compromised a number of agents who wined and dined him in their homes and in his. From them, Bulger gained intelligence about rival gangsters and surveillance operations in which he was the target. One agent gave Bulger 40 pounds of plastic explosive, according to testimony at trial. Bulger was even given the identity of people informing about him, whom he then murdered.
There are no words to describe how horrible an act that is,
observed a retired state superior court judge, Robert Barton.
There's nothing lower, there's nothing worse.
From the time he went onto the books as an FBI informant in 1975, Bulger commanded fear across the city without incurring so much as a misdemeanor until 1995. A team of state police detectives, a DEA agent, and a couple of federal prosecutors finally built a case against Bulger and overcame the entrenched opposition of the FBI. But Bulger was tipped off to his coming indictment. Off went Bulger with his longtime girlfriend, Teresa Stanley, but he soon brought her home and picked up his other girlfriend, Catherine Gregg.
The fact that he is still a fugitive after so many years is an embarrassment to every law enforcement officer that we work with.
Acknowledged one FBI supervisor, James Burkett, when Bulger had only been a fugitive for 5 years. The astonishing break came in June 2011, after the Bureau released a public service announcement focusing on the blonde companion who was 20 years younger than Bulger. In short order, they were both captured in a rent-controlled apartment in Santa Monica. Bulger came back to a city different from the one he'd left. His brother John had done a stint in prison for lying to a grand jury when asked about Whitey, and his brother William had been forced out of office as university president after being subpoenaed to a congressional hearing and deliberately questioned in public in regard to his whereabouts.
On advice of counsel, I am unable to answer any questions today.
When James Bulger was put on trial in 2013, William Bulger never appeared. Though Bulger was convicted of all but one count at his trial, victims expressed frustration that those who had empowered and enabled Bulger were not held to account. The father of Tommy Donahue was gunned down by Whitey Bulger as he gave a ride home to someone who was talking to the FBI.
You know, how Whitey was able to terror everybody for 30 years, murder, manipulate, extort, and not get in trouble at all. Why the government or the FBI sat back and didn't do a damn thing about it.
It was a wreckage field that was deep and wide. And though Bulger may have been the executioner, it had started with a secret special relationship with the Justice Department.
And finally this morning, in our conversation with WBUR special correspondent David Borey, David, people close to the family have told you what Whitey Bulger told them he wanted for an epitaph on his headstone. What is that?
Bottom line, Bob, very few people will mourn his death. Bulger, self-proclaimed, self-styled tough guy, always prided himself on being a graduate of the U.S. Federal Penitentiary at Alcatraz, the elite for the most offensive and violent people. And so what I am told is that he wants an epitaph for his headstone, and that is, I'd rather be in Alcatraz.
WBUR special correspondent David Borey, thanks a lot for being with us this morning.
You're welcome.